This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along today for the WPGM Community Forum, and we're going to be talking with the head of infectious diseases at the Geisinger Health System. Dr. Stanley Martin joins us to talk about some of the ways we can stay safe during the pandemic. And one of the big ones, he says, is wearing a mask. It's pretty simple, and it really does a lot, he says. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We want to welcome Dr. Martin to the program, and we want to thank you for tuning in to the program today as well. Dr. Martin, let's begin by looking at the science behind wearing a mask. Everybody has an opinion on it, but some people have said they're annoyed that others will not wear them when they go out in public. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say that it makes me a little more sad than annoyed, quite frankly, you know. And I think it's mostly for a couple of reasons. I think a lot of it is probably just what I would call COVID fatigue. You know, I think people are just very tired of having to deal with this pandemic. And I think a lot of it has to do with also people just being a little unaware of maybe what the consequences are and what the significance of the mask is. We do know that the mask is probably the single most important thing that you can do in the community to prevent the spread of infection. This is difficult to study, but when you look at the studies that have been done on this and you look at the models, it seems clear that the implementation of mask wearing in a community has the biggest effect on preventing new infection. And it makes sense that it could potentially do that.
We hear the state secretary of health saying repeatedly that your mask protects me, my mask protects you. Is the science behind that accurate?
The masks do a great job of blocking the spread of these droplets, right? So they're these microscopic droplets that are emitted from the mouth and the nose of anybody who's speaking or breathing. These particles contain the virus. Now, most of these particles fall within about 6 feet radius of a person who's infected with the virus. Some of them can travel a little bit farther in some circumstances, but the mask will prevent the vast majority of those from going out into the surrounding atmosphere. And then if you, of course, couple that with people who are around that infected individual are also wearing a mask, now you're blocking even more of the viral particles from entering into a new host, right? And so that's how you have this kind of double whammy of the impact of the mask.
And like I said, everybody has an opinion. It seems to have become very politicized. That started rather quickly back in March as we started seeing all the shutdowns.
You know, politics seem to enter into everything, don't they? But, you know, I will say this, you know, regardless of your politics, the virus doesn't care. And the only way we can fix these kinds of problems is not ignoring it. You know, not by wishful thinking. You know, we have to focus on the science. We have to focus on the facts. And we also need to appreciate that when we wear a mask, we're not just protecting ourselves, right? You know, and I can hear the voice of somebody who's young and healthy and saying, you know what, I can take my risk. I'll probably be okay. And they're probably right. But we're surrounded, even those who are young and healthy, are surrounded by friends and family that may not be. And when they wear the mask, it's not just that they're protecting themselves, but they're protecting others. They're protecting those that they could care about, those who might be a little older, those who might have some medical problems, which put them at a very increased risk for complications, right? Things like diabetes, obesity, older age, underlying heart, lung problems, problems with the immune system, et cetera, pregnancy. These are all things which might have a very big impact on their risk of suffering significant complications of this disease, winding up in the hospital, or even dying as a result of this infection, right? And so, you know, we have to want to do these things for not just ourselves, but for other people.
The discussions of this have been rampant, especially on social media platforms, and a lot of people have expressed concerns that there are medical reasons not to wear a mask. We've heard about the buildup of CO2. Can you address some of those suggestions and tell us whether there's any fact behind those stories?
First off, the CO2 thing is not an issue at all, right? You cannot build up CO2 to appreciable degree in your bloodstream that would have any negative effect on you by wearing a mask. That's just simply not true. There are some people, though, who really do struggle with wearing a mask, right? These are primarily people who might have psychiatric or neurological problems, right? Severe sense of claustrophobia, anxiety, people who have an inability to really kind of understand why the mask is needed and should be kept in place. There are some reasons why, you know, a person might not be able to wear a mask, but those are extremely rare. Those are few and far between. And even in those scenarios, there are options, right? There are options such as using face shields, which, you know, kind of is like wearing a hat with a plastic shield that comes down over the face and so that the entire face is visible. But still covers the face. And although that's not necessarily a one-to-one substitute for a mask, it's certainly better than nothing, right? And a lot of those people, they may have some of these other medical problems that we worry about. And so, again, I think it's also worth just reminding ourselves that being out in public, we have to be conscious not just about the mask, but also trying to avoid very large crowds or crowded scenarios. And if you are, make sure you're doing a lot of hand hygiene, that you're trying to minimize touching of other people and yourself. Those kinds of things will help as well.
Seems like the big occasions, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and so forth, have led to spikes of the virus cases around the country, especially some real big hot spots like Florida.
You know, I think holidays always kind of make us want to get out of the house. It certainly does for me. I think what we have seen here in Pennsylvania is we saw a really strong effect of us flattening that curve, so to speak, right, where the number of cases dropped down fairly dramatically as a consequence of our implementation of all of these things that we've been talking about, right, the wearing the mask, the social distancing, et cetera. And because of that, we got our case counts down. I mean, we were down to a point where, you know, maybe 300 new cases a day in Pennsylvania. And our counties, as you know, went back to green, right? But unfortunately, I think a lot of people thought of that as the signal that we could just go back to being completely normal. And as we've opened up, people have kind of sidelined some of those measures. And again, in part, it's the COVID fatigue thing. But in part, I think it's also, it was a little bit of a lack of understanding that even though we were going green and our counties were opening back up, we still needed to be conscious about these measures to prevent new infections. And so over the last few weeks, that's what we've seen. We've seen this kind of steady increase in the number of new cases every day. And now we're seeing something like 900 new cases a day in Pennsylvania. And so I worry that, you know, if we don't be more conscious about these things, we are going to see bigger spikes and we're going to see another big surge, possibly even bigger. That's going to wind up causing our counties to shut back down, go back to yellow or even red. And that's something we can avoid if we are conscious about these things.
The decision on going back to school has become a very stressful one for many parents who just aren't sure what to do. Let's talk a bit about what we can expect in that regard.
It is. It is stressful. It is logical that it's a problem. You know, on the one hand, we all know that kids are much better off in school, and they need that education. They need that stability. They need that structure, right? I mean, I say that not just as a physician, but also as a father. And I, you know, just like anybody, I'd want my kids to be back in school too. But it clearly is an opportunity for the virus to really spread. And schools are trying to be thoughtful about this. At least most of them are trying to be thoughtful about this. But it's very difficult to know what is really the right thing to do. And it may depend on the student. It may depend on the teacher or the staff. But they're going to have to be conscious about all these things that we've talked about, including the masking, the hand hygiene, the maintaining safe distances, space in a classroom, which can be very difficult with younger children, right? Much easier at a university level, but when you're talking about kindergartners, that's a challenge. And I don't think anybody has the magic wand to fix that just yet.
And normally, by this time of the year, we're starting to think about the flu season, the normal flu season. But how is that going to impact us this year when we're combining it with the fact that COVID's out there as well?
I have a lot of thoughts about flu season. The first thought I have about flu season is to get your flu shot. The second thought I have about flu season is to also make sure you get your flu shot. And then the third thought, can you guess what I'm going to say?
I'm going to guess the flu shot.
That's right. So, you know, the flu is a little bit variable from year to year, right? But on average, we see somewhere around 30,000 plus deaths in the United States to influenza. We will see that again this year, right? Sometimes we see more, sometimes we see a little less. It depends on how mean that particular strain of flu is, and it depends on how many people get vaccinated and so forth. But this year is a special concern because of COVID, right? Because when you get the flu or you get COVID, they cannot be easily distinguished from each other, right? If you come into a doctor's office or an emergency room with symptoms of the flu or COVID, that you can't necessarily tell those two diseases apart without doing a test. And so preventing flu is extremely important to prevent people from coming into the health system or coming into the hospital sick and being around COVID scenarios. We worry a lot also about the possibility of what we call co-infection, right? A scenario where a person has both flu and COVID. And we know that can happen. We saw that towards the tail end of the flu season this past year and towards the beginning of the COVID outbreak here. And that could spell disaster for a lot of people, and including a possible increased risk of death and other problems. So please, 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 we know the most effective thing we can do to prevent the flu is to get the flu shot. And if you're 6 months of age or older, then you are eligible to get the flu shot.
An interesting question that was posed to me, and I want to pass it along to Dr. Martin, is this. If a couple years from now we look back and find out that the masks did nothing to protect us, how many people will have died as a result of the masks?
Well, nobody has died because of a mask. That, I can tell you, the death rate of wearing a mask is zero. That scenario is not going to happen, right? Because the studies are already being done, and we can already see the benefits of wearing the mask as far as preventing new infections.
Dr. Stanley Martin of Geisinger, he's the head of infectious diseases, and he's been our guest on the program today talking about some of these issues surrounding COVID-19, and especially the mask-wearing portion of the pandemic, which has for some reason become very controversial. Dr. Martin, thanks for being with us on the program today to share some scientific background to the pandemic. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.